From a Supreme Court race to deep cuts to the federal government, it's been a big year for Wisconsin politics. Today, our politics team looks back at the stories of the year. It's Friday, December 26th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, we'll hear that discussion of the year in politics. And from Wisconsin Life, a story about a groundbreaking feminist artist in Wisconsin in the 1970s. Stay with us.
Get caught up.
We are learning new information this morning about the lengthy...
Take a step back.
All right, what's really going on here?
And prepare for what's ahead.
Are you expecting a breakthrough this week?
Stay on top of the news with Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
A new state Supreme Court justice and a new state budget were among the top political stories of the past year, not to mention the state's response to President Donald Trump's administration. WPR's Rich Kramer and Anya Van Wagendonk joined Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson for this update.
Okay, you two, we have 4 minutes here to rip through a year's worth of news. So since it feels like we always live in the land of high-profile elections, let's start with our race for Supreme Court. Who were the candidates this year? What happened? And how the heck did it get so expensive?
In the right corner, you had former Republican Attorney General and Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel. In the left corner, you had liberal Dane County Judge Susan Crawford. It was a hard-fought campaign that coincided with Trump's first months back in office. Schimmel wanted to nationalize the race, and he got what he wished for. He got a Trump endorsement, billionaire Elon Musk was paying people to register to vote in Wisconsin, and even handed out two $1 million checks at an event just before the election. National Democratic groups poured money into Crawford's campaign. Musk and GOP groups showered Schimmel's campaign as well. In the end, it wasn't that close. Crawford defeated Schimmel by around 10 percentage points in April, and that's in line with the last few Supreme Court races where we've seen liberal candidates also beat their conservative competitors by similar margins.
And like, we knew this race was going to get expensive. The ideological balance of the court was at play, and so both sides were fighting to either keep the court liberal or swing it conservative. And at the same time, we also got so much national attention because it was really the first big election after the huge Trump win of 2024. So national punditry was kind of wondering if this would be seen as a reflection of where voters in this all-important swing state were leaning. But I don't think any of us expected it to necessarily double the last record-breaking court race, which was, of course, also a Wisconsin court race 2 years ago. But all those stakes led a bit to a spending arms race. And then, of course, as Rich mentioned, Elon Musk got involved, which drove the spending numbers up even further, well past the $100 million mark.
All right. And in the state capitol, we had a debate that we have every couple years involving Wisconsin's next budget. But this debate and the budget deal was unlike anything we've seen in Wisconsin for a long time. Anya, when you look back, what stands out?
Yeah, this was a really interesting political moment where Republicans did not have enough unified support amongst themselves for any kind of spending document. And so all of a sudden, Democrats, who are in the minority, had actual leverage to get some of their priorities into the budget. And that led to this kind of unprecedented bipartisan deal that included millions for childcare, the largest increase to the UW system in 20 years, like these Democratic priorities in exchange for over $1 billion in tax cuts. Those are Republican priorities.
And not too long after that deal, Governor Tony Evers finally announced his intentions for 2026 and basically shook up the world of politics, Rich.
He really did. After a lot of speculation about whether he would or wouldn't run for a third term as governor, Evers said, "I'm out." That set up an open primary for the governor's seat, and it feels like almost every Democrat in Wisconsin is running.
And I think that what a lot of people might remember about 2025 is that this was the very busy first year of the second Trump administration. There is so much to cover here, but what stands out in terms of how it was felt in Wisconsin?
Obviously, a big priority of the Trump administration has been cutting federal spending. And so I think those big cuts and changes kind of shone a light on how present federal money is in all of our everyday lives. So if we think all the way back to last January, when there was a freeze on basically all federal funding, all of a sudden it became clear that some communities here fund hospitals or school buses or bathrooms in public parks using federal dollars. And then we saw this again during the shutdown with how those changes affected programs like SNAP. There was just so much uncertainty. And speaking of uncertainty, we also heard from a lot of business owners that same concern with all the back and forth about tariffs. And so even if federal policy didn't necessarily kind of play out in everyone's daily lives, there was, I think, this overall sense of systems that we're all kind of accustomed to just being totally upended.
That was WPR's Anjavan Wagtendonk and Rich Kramer speaking with WPR political editor Sean Johnson. Coming up, a 97-year-old Wisconsin artist looks back on a key work, an American flag made from bras. Stay with us.
What started with one experimental license more than 100 years ago is today Wisconsin Public Radio. With dozens of stations around the state, an app, and a comprehensive website at WPR.org. Thank you to our donors who made this journey possible.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with more on a piece of art called The Land of the Freed Up Woman.
The 1970s were the height of the second wave of feminism, when women in the U.S. were advocating for equal rights and opportunities to men. As Molly Honkin tells us, it was during this time that one woman expressed her feminist views by creating art made out of a unique medium. Bras.
Artist Marge Engelman has spent much of her life in Wisconsin. The walls of her Madison apartment reflect that time, as they're covered with countless pieces of art.
This is twinkle, the little star. The big bear. Anyway, I'll show you around.
Despite Engelman's own works of art that currently adorn her apartment's walls, she says she wasn't always an artist.
When I was in grade school, a teacher had implied that I did not have artistic ability. So I took that seriously.
Engelman says she never visited art galleries until she was 38, and she definitely didn't make her own art. That changed when she discovered that the University of Wisconsin Extension offered courses in contemporary art.
I found out there was a program in the School of Home Economics, and it was called Related Art. So I registered. I was about 40 years old, so I was a different kind of student.
Through this program, Engelman got her master's degree in art after 2 years. She taught introductory art courses for a few years and was then appointed as the director of outreach at UW-Green Bay. Engelman says around this time, change was taking root.
The feminist movement came along, and I became a flaming feminist because I felt quite a bit of discrimination growing up and also working because women weren't valued as much as men.
Engelman says she was inspired by this moment. It led her to start a child care center on UW-Green Bay's campus for students and faculty. Plus, she was still creating art, including a historical piece she created in 1971 that was inspired by the bra-burning feminists.
But then it was about that time that I got the idea for the bra banner. And I called it the Land of the Freed Up Woman.
The banner looks like the American flag, but features stripes made out of red velveteen and 20 white padded bras. It also alters the stars in the corner of the flag by replacing them with foam modeled after birth control pills.
The pill, a contraceptive pill, had just come out, and so I decided I could visualize that in the field of blue.
She created the flag in response to her experiences with discrimination. During her time in administration at UW-Green Bay, Engelman says she was the only woman on staff.
There were things that were said to me, and opportunities I didn't have because I was a woman. And I thought people should start thinking about that.
At the age of 96, Engelman is still creating art out of her Wisconsin home.
I have made a sewing center here in the bathroom. So I put my sewing machine here.
Some of her art now relates to more tame themes, like nursery rhymes.
Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow.
But like the bra flag, she continues to create pieces that are politically motivated.
Molly Hunkin brought us that story on Marge Engelman's bra flag. The art itself is part of the Wisconsin 101 Project, which tells our state's history through objects. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Hope you have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.